Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, Feel Free. God created us all with the ability to feel and to express human emotions. In this series, we will learn from Scripture how to express the full range of emotions and learn how God can use our emotions for His purposes in our lives. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy!
So good morning, church. How are we doing this morning? Good. Yeah, of course you're doing good, because there's really no other way to answer that question in such a way, right? It's kind of a funny question, because you ask that and you're like, yeah, no, this is the one answer we give, because, you know, imagine if one person in the back was like, actually, my shoulder's hurting, and my kids drew some wall art this morning with a Sharpie, so I don't know how I'm doing. That would kind of interrupt the flow a bit, wouldn't it? You know what's funny? That question asking, how are you doing? In our, you know, at least in America, in English, you know, that is just a funny way of saying hi. You know, most people ask that question. They go, hey, how are you doing? And they go, good. How are you? Good. And in reality, if we had that on a flashcard for someone who wasn't a native English speaker or from America, on the back of that, it would just be like, hello. That's just how we say hello to each other in our culture. It's such an interesting thing. And then you get those people sometimes when you're like walking, you know, and you say that in passing, they give you like this novel of like what's going on in their life. And you're like, I'm here at Big Y. I'm just trying to get bananas. I didn't really come here for a therapy session. Like, I didn't need the whole response and everything. It just doesn't fit the equation of that. But in reality, it's funny that person's telling you their kind of emotional state and where they are. But it's just not something you expect all the time. So let me just ask you that question genuinely for a moment and just take a minute to think. How are you doing? How are you feeling? What emotions did you bring with you this morning to church? We all come from very different places in life. So take a second to think, you know, what did you bring with you today? What thoughts are going through your mind? You know, when you look at the current status of the world right now, where we have a couple wars going on, the housing market's on fire, we have the mental health crisis is just booming, which is a great thing. I can just imagine that some of you might be feeling just a little stressed, just maybe a little, right? On top of that, add in all the normal daily stressors of life where you have your kids, your family members who won't stop tagging you in conspiracy theory posts and Facebook, and you have that one person in your family that doesn't understand that the credit card does in fact have an off switch, which that's me, by the way, in our relationship. I love giving gifts, and my gifts are never within the budget for gift giving, so I can self-burn myself there a little bit. But with all that kind of added on, I can imagine some of you are feeling a little stressed. I know I am. It's a stressful time that we're living in right now. And, you know, while we may not be, you know, for those of you who are followers of Jesus and who have read the scripture, while we may not be one of those followers in the scriptures who are being persecuted for their faith to the death, while we may not be living in that kind of situation currently, I know a few people who would honestly willingly go into that and trade places with them, because they're drowning where they are. And something about only having that one thing to worry about sometimes can seem a little easier, or at least a little less burdensome. I had a conversation the other day with an ex-Marine who was helping his son through his mental health crisis and told me, you know, I'd rather be overseas in the war, in a battle. I'd rather go back there because at least I knew where to go and I knew what to do. And this time of uncertainty, helping his son wrestle through his mental health struggles was just absolutely the most amount of weight he's ever felt. And it was just so uncertain that he was just so afraid. Have you ever felt like that a little bit? You know, where do these emotions and these stressors kind of fit within being a follower of Christ? For those of you who are followers of Christ, where do these intense emotions and intense stressors, where does that fit within our faith and our journey? You know, I grew up in a time where I'd hear people frequently in church say, well, if you're feeling these heavy emotions or burdens, you're probably just not praying enough, or you're probably not reading your scripture enough. And if you did that, you wouldn't be feeling these things. But then I would actually go in the scriptures and read them, and I would see people like Elijah or Peter or Jesus experience these really heavy emotions, and that just wouldn't make sense to me. It didn't line up correctly. So where do these have room? This was hard to be able to bring this up. I heard a friend of mine once in a moment, he grew up in a very similar kind of environment where he heard that kind of message regarding these really intense emotions. He told me a story of one time when he cried out to his mother. He's having a panic attack, and he cried out and he asked her for help. And she just started to pray loudly and louder and louder and louder as he tried to call out for her help. Every time he said, "Mom, just come, please be with me," she would just start to pray louder to drown out his cries for help. Is that the Christian response to these emotions? Because I almost fell apart hearing that. What we realized is that these emotions, when you look in the scriptures and you see people feel these things, you realize that these are not, these emotions are part of life. And that's not evidence of some kind of lack of faith or lack of spiritual discipline. You know, I can say this as someone who experiences one of these very intense emotions frequently. You know, we see in the Bible, we see in life, we see very tough emotions like anger, sadness, depression, you know, anxiety. And I experience one of those myself as a follower of Jesus. You know, I experience anxiety daily as a follower of Christ who attempts each day to try to seek Christ. Back in the beginning of 2020, right before COVID, funny enough, this happened right before another enormous thing, I had my self-laid foundation of life fall at my feet. And when that happened, I allowed anxiety and fear into my life in a way that it's been with me ever since. I love the way that NF, the rapper, speaks about it. He's a rapper that speaks frequently about his emotions, but also about his faith as a Christian. And he says, "Fear came to my house years ago and I let him in. Maybe that's the problem because I've been dealing with this ever since. I thought that he would leave, but it's obvious he never did. He must have picked a room, got comfortable, and settled in." Again, I'm a follower of Jesus. I believe in him, and I also experience this anxiety daily, and I can imagine many of you do too. There are nights when I cannot sleep because I get this thought in my mind, this fear in my mind, and I stay awake all night with no chance of falling asleep because I'm just so afraid. It's funny, Jenna has this like sixth sense where she knows this is happening to me, and by I mean sixth sense, I mean she'll wake up and have 12 text messages for me, and then she'll go, "Oh boy, it's happening." So we here at Valley Brook decided, led by a desire from our worship leader, Pat, to dive into some of these heavy emotions that you see in life, but also in the scripture. Some of the emotions like anger, anxiety, fear, sadness, depression. And we're gonna spend the next few weeks discussing some of these and discussing how they are a part of life and how God has allowed us to experience the full range of human emotions within life. And while we have the capacity to feel deeply, sometimes we struggle with how to handle these emotions and can oftentimes experience them in what psychologists call unhealthy negative emotions or unhelpful negative emotions, as well as positive, but we're going to focus on the unhealthy negatives. You know, Scripture doesn't condemn these emotions, but acknowledges that there is a way to be able to experience the full range of emotions in a way that gives glory to God, but also allows us to feel and experience a life that is abundant and satisfying. This is something Jesus speaks about frequently, a desire that we experience abundant and satisfying and a rich life. And we do this not because God has laid out a bunch of to-do lists for of things that we need to do, but instead we're able to read through his experience and we can see what he did when he felt these things. And we see what we get in the way that he responded. So today we're going to address fear and anxiety. So psychologists call anxiety the emotion of the future, and not because it's like some invention to come, but because it's an emotion that is fully focused on what is to come, something that is going to happen, this fear of, oh my gosh, what if? That's like the tagline of, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Oh my gosh, what if this happens? And oftentimes, anxiety in that fear, we have a desire to control what is to come or a desire to change what is to come because we're afraid of what's going to happen. A lot of times people call anxiety the fear of feeling, because oftentimes when we experience something and anxiety shows up, we feel uncomfortable and we don't like that feeling. So we try to then change what's going on so we don't have to feel that. Whether this is losing or gaining a job, having that kid we've always wanted to have, or having a conversation with a loved one that we may not know how it goes. This is why oftentimes when people feel anxious, they lie. And lying is just an attempt, oftentimes, this isn't how everyone responds, but oftentimes lying is an attempt to control the situation because they don't like what could happen if you were honest about it. You know, say a kid gets a bad grade on a test and mom says, did you pass? And they go, yep, I did, knowing full well you didn't. And that's because they're afraid of what's gonna happen if mom knew, right? So they try to provide an answer that would change the environment so they don't have to feel that negative feeling that they don't want. Again, that feeling and that desire to control and change what they don't want to experience. Now, a desire to control, let's be honest, sounds a little toxic, but don't we all kind of want things the way we want them? You know, Burger King's doing pretty good because you can always have it your way, you know? So isn't that just something that we all want? Like, we want things to go our way. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with having a desire for the future. And the Bible does not condemn that desire for things to change in the way that we want them to change. But what it does state is that when we demand things need to change, that's when things cause a problem. Psychologists say that oftentimes we experience the unhealthy negative emotions when we place a demand on life that then life doesn't always work in conjunction with it. It doesn't always make sense. We go, well, and this sounds like, you know, I need this. Or they shouldn't be doing this. Those are my favorites, the shoulds in life. They shouldn't be doing this, or that shouldn't be happening, or, you know, they can't do that. These are a lot of demands that we place on life, and usually when they come into conflict, we experience these unhealthy and unhelpful negative emotions. Now, if you read the accounts of Jesus in the Bible, you see him act and talk. He experienced fear, but he didn't respond in any of these ways in his fear. So he experiences some of the same emotions that we experience, but he acted differently when he was in those same kind of moments. You know, Jesus had all the power in the world to do anything he wanted to do. He calmed storms, he healed people, he brought people back from the dead, but you never seeing him around controlling people. It's just not the way that he did things in his fear, even though oftentimes people were the biggest drivers of a lot of that fear. There is at one point that I'm going to read from in a moment, above all others, where you really get to see Jesus experience this anxiety firsthand and in one of the most intense way possible. You know, Jesus feeling this anxiety, you get to see him act. So if you're here and you wonder, how can we feel the way God feels? Like, if you want to feel the way God feels, do it how he does here. It's an easy, like, you know, picture into how he feels. And this is in Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 36. Now, for a bit of context here, Jesus is about to be betrayed by one of his best friends. So one of the 12 best friends he had, his disciples that he walked with, taught with, and lived with, sold him out to the Jewish community, the religious leaders at the time, because Jesus was starting to cause a little bit of turmoil in their, you know, sphere of influence. And they didn't like that. So Judas told them where he was going to be one night, so they came in and they took him. You know, Jesus in this moment knew this was going to happen, but he knew what was about to happen to him. He's about to be prosecuted for something he didn't do. He was about to be given an unjust trial and then be beaten to the point of death and then hung on a pole in the most excruciating way to die, but also the most embarrassing way in that culture to die. So a little anxiety producing. So this is what he says. He goes and he has this little talk with God beforehand. And this is his prayer. It says, they went to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his friends, sit here while I go and pray. So he took Peter, James, and John with him. And he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little further, fell to the ground, and he prayed that if it was possible that this awful hour waiting might pass him by. And he yells out, Abba, which means dad, says, Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. It's said at this point that Jesus was sweating blood out of his anxiety, which is a physical response that happens only when you're under the most amount of physical stress that a human can like endure. So he's experiencing this to the highest degree, and he's experiencing grief, fear, and an intense desire for things to change, but he places his request at God's feet, releases the demand that it go the way he wants it to go, and he trusts God and says, I want your will to be done. And so when we're, at least from a biblical perspective, and you know, here in the church, when we are discussing how do we respond in anxiety the way that Jesus did, what we need to do is to release our demands to control our fears, and then practice trusting God. And in that, we'll find freedom. And this is why our series is called Feel Free. Because after Jesus presented his request to God, he was able to face all of the suffering and difficulty that came out with a freedom that I envy. In a way, how, you know, I question how in the world was he able to respond in such in terrible environments with such a peace? So how he did this is first, he presented his request to God when he says, take this cup of suffering from me. He presented it, and scripture tells us to do this all over the place. If you read the Bible, you could literally like scroll through and just point on it, and most of the time you'll come up to either a psalm or one time when it says, you should probably present your request to God. It happens frequently. Now, something here I think is important to note is Jesus was able to do this in his most stressful time. So a little intro into a little bit of detail from my life. Before I moved up to Connecticut, I lived up here for a while, and I moved down to Charlotte to do my clinical rotation for therapy. And when I was down there, I got super into heavy lifting. I was into the heavy lifting. There's a sport called strongman, and all the school psychologists were a part of it. So after we all worked with all the kids, we would go to the gym together and do the most crazy lifting things that you'd ever seen. We were pulling trucks, we were flipping enormous tires, and we were flipping telephone poles. It's called caber tossing, and that was like my thing that I love doing. Look it up, it's amazing, it's so much fun. When you do these huge lifts though, the gyms and the trainers won't even let you attempt to do a certain amount of weight unless your form is good. Because if your form isn't good, you'll end up hurting yourself. And this is what happens a lot of times when you're in these moments of severe stress, lifting these things, and you're at that moment where you're like, I can't lift anymore. Your body will default back to the way it knows how to do it. And so if your form is bad, you'll hurt yourself. I know that from experience. I ripped a muscle off my shoulder lifting something above my head. So I didn't have the best form. So I can tell you from experience, it hurts a lot, and you need to make sure your form is good in order to do it. But that also gives you a picture, and when you see these professionals lifting high weights or even doing a lot of other areas in life, when they do these incredible things and you see that they don't break, it's because they've practiced this. Their form is good. And this means that they practiced doing this when the weight was light. And this means that Jesus, as the scripture shows us, prayed and presented his request to God and trusted God frequently, as much as you would practice for a huge event coming up. He practiced it so that when you see this and he's praying in this terrible anxiety moment, you can look and say, wow, this is so difficult for him. But at the same time, you're going, how in the world is he doing this in that moment? I'd be running for the hills. How is he doing this? He practiced it. This was his form. Paul tells us in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So newsflash, when you see Jesus here experiencing some fear and anxiety here, and then you hear Paul say, don't be anxious about anything, what he's actually saying is, when you feel this, do this, because when Jesus experienced this fear and anxiety, this is what he did, so we should do the same. Jesus trusted in God when he was struggling the most because he knew God could handle it and he knew God could help him through it. And he only was able to do that because he practiced it. And he grew in that relationship with God to know that he could handle it in that moment. Secondly, he released his demands to God. I want your will to be done, not mine. You know, when he says this, you see his emotions take this stark change after you continue to read. And I implore you to read the remainder of the story in Mark's gospel as you see Jesus responding with this absolute focus that he had in those terrible moments. And this is because he released his demand that it go the way that he wants it. He presented it. He said, I don't want this to happen. Can you take it? But if not, I will trust you. You know, we don't need to give up our desires for the future. Church, that's not something the Bible does not say give up your desires for the future, but what it does say is don't demand things of God. God desires your requests and your desires of your heart. We are not able to demand anything of God. And oftentimes here, I find with us here in America specifically, we kind of find a difficult place between those two things, because oftentimes we feel like our government officials that we vote into office and at the end of the day, they serve us. You know, it's a little different with God. We haven't conquered God to demand anything of him, but God does serve us out of a desire in his heart, not out of an obligation that he needs to take what we believe we want in our life and have to listen to it. But he does desire to hear our desires, and he wants to have that relationship to be able to talk with you about those things. You know, if you ever read C.S. Lewis, he's the famous author who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia series, as well as so many other books that I highly recommend. He wrote about in one of his books about his experience becoming a Christian, where he learned how to be a Christian in the same summer he learned to be a diver, like in a pool. And he draws a connection between those two things. And if you've ever watched Through the Shadowlands, it's a movie from 1993. I love it. The actor is such a cool voice actor, and he's so wonderful. But he says he learned how to dive in the same year because he learned the same skill. He didn't have to do anything. Instead, you have to stop doing something. You have to stop trying to preserve yourself, he says. He goes, once you jump headfirst without worrying about where you're going to land, it works. You're a diver. But think about it for a moment. Like a diver who trusts in their form, they trust what they've practiced, they trust what they know so that they can do differently. Same thing with lifters in my experience. They trusted what they knew and they trusted what they had practiced, and so they were able to do so much more. So when you see Jesus do these things and you wonder, how is he able to do this? When I do it, I can't do that. I can't lift a crazy amount of weight. And when I try to jump in the pool, I just flip and I actually hurt myself doing it. Why? What's different? It's that they've done it. They've practiced trusting in what they know. And as Christians, as followers of Jesus, our form is trusting in God through prayer, in knowing God. That's our form. And then he experienced the freedom and peace to face that suffering. I want to just take a second, and I think it's imperative at this point to just point this out. This is hard. If you've ever tried to do this yourself, this is really, really difficult. It's much easier said than done. You go, all right, I'm just going to leave and go start trusting God. You're like, okay, great. And then something happens and it's really stressful. And it's like, what do you do in those moments? God knows this. He knows this is difficult, and this is why he decided to, instead of stay distant from our suffering, he decided to step into the suffering of life and suffer with us. This is where people say, how could a good God allow suffering? And it's like, God actually stepped into that suffering. How could a good God experience that suffering? Because he loves us. That he stepped into it, experienced the most intense way of that suffering and that anxiety that you could ever experience as a human being, so that at the end of life, when we stand before God in the end, we don't have this judgmental, angry, wrathful person angry at us, but instead we have a God who steps up to us, puts his arms around us, wipes the tears from our eyes and says, I've been there and I love you. That's who God is. And that's the God that we desire to trust with our life. And there is benefit of that. When we release our anxieties and our fears to God, we're able to face life with a freedom that allows life to be satisfying and rich, even in the suffering, so that so much good can come for it. Look to Jesus. When he did this, what came from there? The salvation of everyone who was born or will ever be born or who had already died. The entire universe was saved because of his trust in God. And that would have been thrown away if he didn't do that. Jesus could only do this because he trusted and knew God. This is why the scriptures say, cast your anxieties on him who cares for you. He knew he cared for him, and that's why he did this. So church, oftentimes I know in our culture today that a lot of times people are always focusing on, is God real? Is God not real? I think we need to focus on God loves and God cares, because that's what changes life. So I'm going to read a section from the book of Proverbs. I'm going to ask the worship band to come up as I do this. I think it's a wonderful thing for the church to hear the scripture read out loud, because, you know, in a world that's very loud and a lot of competing voices, sometimes when you hear the scripture in a way that most of human history who couldn't read or write could experience it, it's kind of nice. It's a nice change of pace. And this is from the book of Proverbs, which are wise sayings from one of the wisest people in the Bible, outside of Jesus himself. This was King Solomon, and we put them all together in this nice little easy way to get them. And this is on the topic of trusting God, and this is what he says. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understandings. In every way, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce, trusting in him, and then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be wary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. And then he goes on and he says, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. When you will walk on your way, you will walk securely and your foot will not stumble. It says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. And your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. If you desire this abundant life and freedom, follow Jesus. We here at Valley Brook are committed and dedicated to following Jesus with our lives, walking with him, learning to be more like him so that we can live life the way he lived. So if you're here and you haven't, you know, made that decision, or you haven't, you know, followed him before, even if this is just sounding pretty good to you, come and follow him with us. We invite you to do that, because it's a wonderful journey. It's hard, but we'd rather do it together. God loves us and desires for us to know him. So our challenge here is to know him. practice releasing your demands. Give him your desires and you will find freedom. I'm going to pray and then we're going to move into a time of worship. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity that we have to read your word, hear your scripture, and just be with you. Lord, we see how you responded when you felt these intense emotions, these anxieties. And Lord, if you felt them, then these aren't just for the weak. That these are how we all feel them. We will all feel them at some point in time. And so we want to be able to live life like you. And we thank you for coming in and living life this way and giving us your experience in it, rather than just telling us what to do. Lord, we pray that as we follow your example, that you be with us, that you guide us. And Lord, I pray that in this, specifically with our anxieties, Lord, that you remind us that you love us and that we can trust you and that you care. We thank you, O Lord, and we pray that you help us in this as we go from here. In your name we pray, amen.